can dive right in where we left off, but I will give you a short recap, because sometimes a lunch and an afternoon can make a few things from the morning a little bit hazy. So, this morning we were looking at Mark 6 and the feeding of the 5,000, which demonstrated to us how to live from the resource of heaven with trust and reliance on the Father. I appreciated that a lot of the things that were sung about and spoken about in our worship this evening were about trusting the Lord. And that's what we were talking about in part this morning, trusting in God, leaning on Him, not leaning on our own understanding, that our center of gravity has shifted. We don't lean on our understanding anymore, but we can lean on the Lord and find heaven's resources available to meet our need and the need of those around us. We were learning to live with that right perspective, weren't we? Living from heavenly perspective, knowing that we're born from above and we're designed, that our inner life is designed to feed on God. We're designed that way. And so we all took away with us, didn't we, a basket full of bread. We talked about this morning, that the disciples, after the feeding of the 5,000, they had these baskets left over. You wonder why they brought baskets with them. Presumably they had baskets on the boat, or maybe they had their own lunch in the baskets. But they had these baskets with them, and at the end of the feeding of the 5,000, there was enough left over for each disciple to say, I can take home a basket full of bread. I haven't been left out. In administrating the miracle of God, God also fed them and refreshed them. And as you continue to be administrators of God's miracle to this community, because that's what you are, you're administrators of Jesus' miracle-working power to this community, as you continue to do so, you'll find you'll be refreshed, because you'll take home a basket full of bread, and that hunger that's within you will be refreshed by the Lord. So they're taking these basketfuls of bread, and we'll read in Mark 6 then from verse 41. I understand that in your evening sessions then, I heard that you like a little bit more deep Bible study, so I have 6 pages of notes instead of 4, so hopefully that's deep enough. Mark 6, 41 is where we'll pick that up. So I'm just going to recap a little bit of that feeding of the 5,000, and then we'll go straight on through into that situation where the disciples are caught in the middle of a storm, and Jesus demonstrates the same principle again in a different way. So Mark 6, 41. I'm reading in the New International Version, for those of you who want to know that. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, which is where his resource was from, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000, not including the women and the children. Verse 45, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on the mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples standing at the oars. Straining at the oars, I do apologize, because the wind was against them. About the 4th watch of the night, that's about 3 in the morning, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. We said this morning that this is one of the only stories that's repeated 4 times in the Gospels. All 4 Gospels reference the feeding of the 5,000. And that tells us there's something vital in it for us to grasp hold of. And this morning we were looking at that sort of internal challenge that the disciples faced, where they were hungry. And they had a choice. If they had a hungry crowd and they had a hungry heart, and they had to rely on God's resource, not on their own. But then they get into the boat with these basketfuls of bread. They heave them onto the boat, this big fishing boat. They heave them on, climb the ladders, and they bring these basketfuls onto the boat. And then they set sail. And these were seasoned sailors. They were fishermen. They'd sailed this lake since they were young boys. Some of them, their father was a fisherman, just like they were. It was the family business. they knew this lake back to front, inside out, up to down, everything about it. They knew how to navigate this lake. They were experts in the field. And they had this boat. They all knew their way around the boat. They all knew how the boat worked. Just like if you're driving a car and you get to feel how the car works, these guys felt that way about this boat. It felt like home. And they were sailing across this lake with these basketfuls of bread. And I like to imagine they maybe had them just in the middle of the boat. Maybe they'd put a piece of tarpaulin or some sort of waterproof cloth. I don't know what they had back in the day. Maybe it wasn't tarpaulin like we would have. But they covered it over and they set sail. And they know where they're going. And then a storm breaks out. And at first they think, oh, this is normal. We've faced storms before quite regularly. We know what we're doing. We'll just set sail this way. We'll take this course. Maybe, I don't know, James climbs the rigging and looks out and says, okay, we need to head due west for a little while here. We'll avoid that part of the storm. We'll be fine. But this storm was something different because it took them by surprise. And these seasoned fishermen, these men who knew their way around, were taken aback by the storm. It was an external circumstance that derailed that inner reliance on God that we talked about this morning. That inner reliance, that inner trust, that inner leaning on God that they had seen in the feeding of the 5,000 was then derailed by an external circumstance. And I'm sure we can all relate to that, just like we talked about this morning, that we can relate to situations you look at and you say, there's no way I can meet that with the resources that I have. But the Father says, I've got resource. Just try it. Trust in me. Just rely on me. So also this external situation, this external circumstance arose, and we've all had those, haven't we? A roadblock, something where you think, I was heading one way, and I might have even been in a familiar way where I thought, I know my way around this, but something comes in the way. And I want to talk a little bit about that. You can picture the scene, can't you? These disciples have just, if you like, had their minds blown by the power of God, the miracle-working power of God. He fed 5,000 people, 5 loaves, and now they're in the boat and they're sailing, and suddenly, boom, something changes. And their hearts again, they turn back to that way we talked about of relying on themselves, looking at their own resources, saying, how do we handle this circumstance? This is unusual for us, even us who know what it's like to be in a storm. This is unusual. This time it wasn't personal hunger, it wasn't even a hungry crowd. It was a storm, a serious threatening event. And you could say it was an attack. There was something more than just a natural storm going on. There was some spiritual element to it. There was something trying to bring them down, trying to bring this boat down. And they could have been overwhelmed, and I think they probably were overwhelmed. They probably felt very out of control. And I think we can all relate to that. Maybe it's a job loss where you were heading one way in your job and you thought, I've got this. Going step by step by step. I know my career pathway. I know how this works now. I've been here for a while. And suddenly, from the side, comes a storm. No job. Or maybe it's a personal relationship in your family. Maybe it's a parental relationship that suddenly something changes in it and you think, this is a storm in our whole family now. Something's changed. And it's put us aback, if you like. Maybe your house was robbed. Maybe your car was hit. Maybe something happened that came across you, unexpected. And it's like a storm, isn't it? It's like a raging around you, like the clouds have suddenly become thick, like the waves have suddenly risen, and you think, we were going steady here, and now something's changed. We all face those kind of things. Unexpected, unplanned, unexplained, with no real obvious way of a breakthrough. These disciples, I like to imagine them in the boat. You know, they all knew what they should do in a storm. Maybe the sons of Zebedee got the buckets. Maybe Peter was behind the rudder saying, okay, we've got to try and steer our way out of this. Maybe Bartholomew was trying to, I don't know, heave at the oars to get them to go the right way. But nothing was working. Nothing worked because the storm was something external. It wasn't something they could control. It was something else. An external issue caused them to lose sight of the basket full of bread that was right by their side. Because I believe they took that basket into the boat. I don't believe they left it at the shoreside full of bread. I think they saw the value of it. I think they saw this is a basket full of miracle food. I'm going to take this with me. This is my reminder. Just like this morning, we took with us a reminder spiritually. Okay, I've got what it takes. God's given me the resource. So I'm going out. I'm taking it with me. I'm getting in the boat. And something might come across your path that is external, it's unplanned, unexplained, uninitiated by anything natural, if you like. It just happened. And God says, don't forget the basket full of bread. Don't forget it. And I'm not suggesting that the bread would have been the practical solution to the storm. I can't imagine a way in which a basket full of bread would have actually helped them solve the storm. I'm not suggesting that's the way it works. I don't think, Thomas could have got one of the loaves and suddenly found a leak in the boat and put the loaf in there and suddenly stopped up the leak. And then maybe James and John thought, if only we'd crumbled the bread and left it as a trail, we'd know our way back to shore. I don't think that was the way this worked, but I do think that there was something in the basket full of bread that spoke a word. I believe that miracle that Jesus had done was speaking, but the disciples couldn't hear it. I believe there was a word there saying, trust your Father, lean on Him, live from heavenly resource, but they couldn't hear it. And if you look in verse 52, it says their hearts were hardened. And you'll find elsewhere in Scripture that mishearing or not hearing the word of God can be described as a hardened heart. You read in Hebrews, today if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts like you did in the rebellion. That's a quote from the Old Testament. That as the Israelites heard the voice of God, they didn't hear Him, if you like. They knew He was speaking, but they didn't hear Him, and that caused a hardened heart. And I believe the disciples, in one way here, there was a word being spoken, they hadn't heard it. And the Bible describes it as they had a hard heart in this particular situation. We know they were disciples of God. We know they wanted to follow Jesus, but in this moment, they missed it. They missed that there was a basket full of bread just waiting there, speaking a word. Trust in Him. Lean on Him. Live from your heavenly resource. All the while, Jesus is on the mountaintop praying, spending time with the Father, living from heavenly resource. Hello. Yeah, that's fine. Richard, Jesus is on the mountaintop. Jesus is up there enjoying time with His Father. The disciples are in their situation, in their circumstance. Circumstance is an interesting word. It circumscribes you. It's around you. It's not in you. A circumstance is around you, not in you. And it's important to realize. The disciples were in a boat, in a storm, but the storm was not inside. And I think they maybe let it get inside them. I don't think that's what God wants us to do. I think He wants us to allow circumstances to be exactly that, circumstances, for us to remain in that position of trusting in Him, leaning on Him and relying on Him. But Jesus is up on the mountain, and I think this is a miracle that is slightly overlooked. The Bible says that Jesus looked out and saw them straining at the oars. And it says that they were 3.5 miles in the book of John, in this account. It says they were 3.5 miles off in the lake in a storm. So there's clouds, there's waves, there's rain. Jesus is on a mountain, probably somewhere near the coastline, but I don't know if it was right at the coastline. But that's at least a 3.5 mile distance. And Jesus saw them straining at the oars. I think that's pretty incredible that these guys are straining here and Jesus can see them. He's got telescopic vision in this moment to see they're in trouble. And Jesus has telescopic vision to see you in your situation. He's not blind to your circumstance. He sees you. And He's on the mountain. He's in the place of resource. He's in the place of abundance. And He says, I'm going to take that to them. I'm going to take this resource to that situation. And so he in an instant, gets from the mountaintop to the lake, and he's walking on the water. And he's not walking on your back garden pond. He's walking on a storm. He's walking on waves upon waves upon waves. It's almost like he's scaling one wave and going down at the other side. He's walking on the waves, and he's just walking. 3 a.m. in the morning. It's pretty dark. Again, how did he see them at 3 a.m. in the morning? Night vision, telescopic vision from Jesus to see these guys and to go into their situation. And he walks as though to go by, but he's offering opportunity. And sometimes I think Jesus does that. He feigns to go by. He says, are you going to come with me or stay in your circumstance? And you know in other accounts that Peter goes to him. Peter steps out of the boat and he goes and walks with Jesus. And we focus on the fact that he started to sink, but I think just enjoy the fact that Peter walked on water. I mean, that's pretty incredible. And that tells me that we can do the same. And that just means your circumstance. That it might not be a storm for you. It isn't a physical storm right now. It's a beautiful day. But there's a circumstance. And God's saying, leave it as a circumstance. Don't let it come inside. Just walk on top. And that's what Jesus did. Where I am in my notes here. Jesus is operating out of heaven's resource, and he's overcoming this challenge, and he's calling the disciples into that overcoming life. He doesn't leave the disciples lost at sea and says, well, they missed it, I'll go find 12 others. I'll find 12 more fishermen somewhere. No, he says, these are the guys who want to follow me, and I'm going to teach them this particular lesson. Once again, rely on the Lord. He gives them that opportunity to come and enjoy heaven's resource again. Earlier, the disciples had seen that one man who knew God's resource could feed 5,000 families with 5 loaves. And now they saw that if you trusted in God, even a physical storm, even an attack from the enemy, can't shake you. Now it stays as an external circumstance. It doesn't mean he denied the fact there was a storm. He just walked on it. He knew there was a storm. He knew this was a dangerous situation. But he said, trust in me, and I'll put the storm to peace. Okay? So look at verse 52 again with me. Same chapter, Mark 62, but verse 52, if that's okay. It's a really interesting phrase, isn't it? I don't know if you've noticed it before in reading this passage. Jesus climbs into the boat with them in verse 51, and the wind instantly dies down, and the disciples are amazed, and Mark says this about them, they had not understood about the loaves. And I underlined that in my Bible, and I said, in the margin here, I wrote down, why are these two miracles linked? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. Thinking to myself, Mark, it's as though he's doing a flashback, isn't it? We've had the feeding of the 5,000, and now we're walking on water. I think, Mark, you've gotten lost here. He's referencing back to the loaves again. They hadn't understood about the loaves. Why does Mark link those two together? Why does he say that they struggled with the storm because they hadn't understood the loaves of bread? Isn't that an interesting thing? They struggled with the storm, with an external circumstance, because they hadn't understood the internal lesson that had happened previously. And I believe that's what we're to focus on this evening. This morning we talked about learning that our inner life is to be sustained and satisfied with bread from heaven. That's Jesus himself. Eating from heaven's resource, which we're going to do when we break bread together. We're going to be enjoying eating of the Lord, if you like. We're going to be enjoying eating of heaven's resource. Enjoying, remembering all that Jesus has done for us and all the provision that he's given us in himself. But then we're going to go into situations, aren't we? We're going to go into circumstances. We're going to get on our boat, whatever it is that our boat is. It might be a career, it might be a family life, it might be a homekeeping, whatever it is. We're going to get back in the boat and we're going to be starting to sail across the other side. And I'm not predicting storms for you, but there might be a storm in your life. But it's important that we understand about the loaves. That verse 52 is really important. Because if we can understand the loaves, those basketfuls of bread that are right next to us, then we'll be able to handle the circumstances of life. The disciples frantically trying to manage the situation in their own strength when there's a basket full of bread sat there speaking, saying, trust God, trust God, trust God, trust God, trust God. Perhaps Matthew the tax collector looked over the basketfuls of bread and thought, it's such a shame I'm never going to be able to eat that because we're going to sink. I don't know. But the basketfuls of bread were there and none of them understood why. None of them had understood the loaves, the significance of those loaves. And I believe if they had understood it, they'd have known how to handle that out of the circumstance, because they'd have known to trust in God. They'd have known that God has provided the resource for that situation. It wasn't a practical solution that was needed. This was a circumstance that required heavenly intervention. And so often that's the case, isn't it? We talked this morning about the errors of problem solving. Now, there are times when you have to sit down with an issue and say, what is the logical thing to do? And God will give you wisdom in that. But there are times when there is no logical solution to the issue at hand. It's just a closed door. You think, well, I got to understand about the loaves. I got to know there's heavenly resource for me. There's a basket full of bread. And I've written down a phrase here. If you're full on God's provision, you are equipped with God's power. If you're full on God's provision, you are equipped with God's power. If you look with me at 2 Peter for a moment. 2 Peter 1. again, I'm sure this will be a familiar verse. I think most of the things we've talked about are probably familiar verses, but I hope that they're bringing some light for you. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and grace. Glory and goodness, sorry. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. And I've often not linked those things together. I've often remembered the verse, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And I think, great, He's given us power, everything we need, life and godliness. That means you've got what it takes to meet this situation in a godly way. That's what the verse says. You have what it takes to meet this situation in a godly way. His divine power has given you everything you need for life and for godliness. But there's a phrase after it that hasn't got a full stop between those two phrases. Through our knowledge of Him. Through our knowledge of Him. Our knowledge of God, our trusting in God, our knowing of God is linked to our ability to operate in the power He's given us for life and godliness. Does that make sense? It's through your knowledge of Him that that divine power that has given you everything you need for life and godliness is activated in your life. That's what I'm saying. If you fill yourself on God's provision, if you know Him, then you are equipped with His power. You're equipped with His power. You've been given power. His divine power has given you everything you need. But there's a way to unlock it. There's a way to tap into it. There's a way to appropriate it to yourself. There's a way to feed yourself so that you can walk at working that power. Does that make sense? It's through our knowledge of Him that that divine power is activated in our lives. So if we're full on God's provision, we are equipped with His power. You have what it takes to face the challenge. You have what it takes to face the circumstance. You have what it takes to answer the complaint against you at work. You have what it takes to respond to the boss or the co-worker who you might feel is attacking you. You have what it takes to overcome the financial insult that comes against you. You have what it takes to achieve the things that God said you'll achieve. You have what it takes to stand when everyone else says, sit down and be quiet. You have what it takes. His divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness, but it's through your knowledge of Him. And if you remember, this morning we talked about that verse in Psalm 9, verse 10, that says, those who know your name put their trust in you. And again, it's that knowledge of Him, isn't it? It's as you know Him, you put your trust in Him. And so we have to continue to get to know Him and put our trust in Him. And as we do that, we'll find, oh, this divine power He's given me is actually outworked in my life now. I'm actually equipped to meet this situation. The disciples would have realized that. If they had been feeding themselves on the bread, then I believe they'd have known what it is to outwork that divine power in the situation. Because you can see from Peter, they had the ability. God had given them the power to walk on the water. Peter did it. They had recently been sent out into the villages and they'd seen demons cast out, sick healed, miracle, 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 miracle. And now they're in a situation that requires a miracle, but they hadn't been feeding themselves on the provision of heaven. They hadn't been feeding themselves on knowing God. And so they weren't able to tap into that power. That's what I'm saying. There's a link between the two, isn't there? If you're feeding yourself on God, if you're feeding yourself on heaven's resources, then that equipping is working out through you. You're able to operate in the circumstance around you with power. It isn't just good enough to know that He's given you His divine power and everything you need. You have to know Him. You have to know Him. And that will allow you to then appropriate it in your own life. If you know Him, you'll trust Him. We're not leaning on our own understanding. We're not leaning on our own knowledge of things. We're leaning on the Lord. As we lean on Him, we find He is the one who moves in power. Moves in power. He's the King of glory. He's the one who comes in walking on the water of the storm and says, come and walk with me above your circumstance, and I'll change it for you. Or I'll give you the key, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to change this thing for good. That's why Mark said in verse 52 of Mark 6, they hadn't understood the loaves, because there's a correlation between the first miracle and the second. There's a correlation between the fact that these disciples had a basket full of bread with them in this storm, and they hadn't recognized it. But then you'll see, as we read on the story, they get the message. They get it, and we've got it too. The disciples are beginning to see that significance of this truth. They start unloading the boat. They get to the other side. Jesus is with them. They get to the shore. We're looking now in Mark 6 and verse 53. They get over to the other side, and something interesting happens again. If you like, part three of the drama. It's like a three-part series on BBC, isn't it? Part three is Mark 6, verse 53. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces and they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. And moving into chapter 7, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food. Isn't that interesting? Saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. And if you read on, I'll summarize for you. The Jews had a law about washing your hands ceremonially before you eat, which applied to the most elite followers of the law. It was the Pharisaical law. It was the teachers of the law who would have these ceremonial washings. They would wash tables. They would wash jugs and glasses in a particularly ceremonial way. The word is similar to baptism, even. They had this ceremony of washing things, and one of them was their hands before they could eat food. It didn't really apply to general folk like you and I. But here they accuse the disciples. They say, hey, they haven't followed the law. They're eating without washing their hands. Look at them eating like that. And they come over, and it's almost like pantomime, isn't it? Boo, the Pharisees. And here they are, the disciples. They've got off the boat. They've seen this wonderful power of God. They've seen the 5,000 fed from five loaves. They've been in this storm. And Jesus comes to them and says, didn't you understand the loaves? Didn't you understand I'd given you what it takes to meet this situation? And then they arrive at the other side. And I like to think the disciples are hungry again. You remember I said this morning that one of the marks of a disciple is hunger? So often the Bible says the disciples are hungry. You know, when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well, the disciples are hungry. when they arrive back after going to the villages, the disciples are hungry. When they arrive at the shore here, the disciples are hungry, so they start eating. Jesus is going around healing the sick, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, doing the work of the Father. The disciples are sat on the beach and they're eating. But I think that's a good thing in this situation, because I believe that they've begun to see the significance of those basketfuls of bread that they had with them the whole time. Maybe one or two of the loaves now have got a bit soggy from the storm. But they heaved those basketfuls back off the boat again, down the ladder, and each one with their basketful of bread again. And they sit down on the coastline, and they sit there with this basket of bread, and they think, there's something about this, isn't there? I hadn't understood this before. I thought this was just leftover food. I thought this was just my lunch for the next week of mission that Jesus had provided me. But there's something about this basket full of bread that's more significant than that. Because the basket full of bread is a sign of God's resource to me. The basket full of bread is a sign that there's an abundant supply that I can just eat of the Lord at any opportunity. And as I'm filled on his provision, I'm equipped with his power. And I'll start to do the things Jesus was doing as I'm feeding myself on the Father's resources. And I believe the disciples were just getting that. They were feeding themselves on that. And so maybe one or two of them to begin with. Maybe Simon the Zealot. Maybe he was the first to go. Or Peter. And they just take a loaf and they think, Father, I'm going to eat of your resource today. And they start eating. I like to imagine they're just resting on the beach. Jesus is, the crowds are crowding around him. He's just touching people, healing people. And there the disciples are. And Jesus doesn't say, hey, boys, what are you doing? Come over here. I need your help with this. He just leaves them be. Because that lesson is just sinking in, isn't it? I've got to eat of the Father's resource. They sit down and they start eating. Full on God's provision, equipped with God's power. It's no surprise, is it then, that the Pharisees get involved? Because they see these disciples stepping into the truth of what God is doing. They see them stepping into feasting on the Father. And they think, we've got to stop that. And so they come over and they accuse them of breaking the law. They accuse them of eating without washing their hands. They say, these dirty disciples, getting off the boat with greasy fishermen's hands. You know that smell of fish that is so pervasive, just lasts for days and days, and maybe under the fingernails. You know, these dirty disciples eating bread like that. And the Pharisees come over and they start accusing, muddy hands, fishy smell in their mouths. And the Pharisees with their whitewashed robes come over and they say, you shouldn't be eating like that. But Jesus doesn't say, well, actually, disciples, it's not very hygienic to eat without washing your hands. He doesn't come over and give them a lesson in hygiene. Jesus knows all about bacteria. He knows all about that. Don't worry about that. We'll talk about hand washing another day. But Jesus sees they're catching it. They're getting it. They're eating the bread. They're eating the miracle provision of the Father. And I want them to know that is right and good. And so he rebukes the Pharisees. I think with probably a wry smile on his face, thinking, the boys are getting it. They're getting it. They're understanding what the loaves really mean. So the next time they face a crowd of 5,000, they'll be able to feed them. The next time they're in a storm, they'll be able to say peace to the storm. And if you look at the disciples in Acts, and you find they do all sorts of things similar to that. They get transported from one place to the next. They pick up lame people and raise them up and see them healed. They see thousands saved in a day. These disciples, they were getting it. They were getting that if they continue to feed themselves on God, they continue to trust and rely on God, then he would equip them with power to meet every circumstance or situation. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, if you read through chapter 7, we won't do it right now, but he says, it's not about the food, the physical food that you eat. It's about what's inside you. It's about your heart. And it's from your heart that comes either good or evil, depending on what's in you. Jesus is saying, it's the principle again. These disciples have fed themselves on God, so it's good that's going to come out of them. But if you're so focused on what the natural is, if you've got fish under your fingernails, then that's you're not feeding yourself the right way. It's the same lesson, isn't it? It's the same lesson to the very beginning when the disciples said they were grumbling about the crowds, they were trying to solve the problem naturally, they were trying to pass the buck and plead their insufficiency. They were saying, we don't want to get involved, we want to keep our hands clean. And Jesus says, no, this is the way. Father's resource, other people first, and then you'll be refreshed. And now the disciples are getting it. They're thinking, it doesn't matter about natural things. It matters about, I'm feeding myself on God. And he's going to provide. He's going to meet the situation. He's going to bring peace to the storm. So Jesus celebrates that with them and pushes aside the Pharisees. You know, you can be grieving or you can be celebrating. You could be hungry or you could be bursting your belt. Be flooded over in a storm or on a mountaintop. But when you're sustained by the resources of God, you'll be equipped to live in his power. When the disciples had understood the loaves and began to eat them and then walk in the good of what they signified, which was heavenly resource, they started to live heaven to earth rather than earth trying to reach heaven. They had that center of gravity shift. We're born from above. We can eat of heavenly resource and bring it to earth. And they went on and changed the world, didn't they? We're here because they got the lesson right. Because they have finally understood the loaves. And God has a basket full of bread for us. And we talked about that this morning, that we would all go away with a basket full of bread. But this evening we get to share in communion together. And I'd like us to consider the things that I've said as we do that. God has a basket full of bread. Now this morning it might be a small piece, but it represents something that is abundant in heaven. It represents the one body of Christ which was broken for us to feast on his goodness and his grace and his mercy and his compassion and his power toward us who believe. And as we take of it, I want you to just imagine in your mind, this is a basket full of bread for me. And as I'm understanding what that signifies, as I'm understanding how to reach into heaven's resource and rely on that, I am equipped. I am equipped. Moving God's power in the circumstance or situation we're in. We're going to take the bread and the wine as the provision of the Father through Jesus. And we're going to go from here then, understanding what it is to have the loaves with us in the storm. And that we won't then grab a hold of an oar or climb the rigging or grab a hold of the wheel or try and stuff a piece of bread in the leaky hole. But just say, whatever's happening, let it be external to me, because within me is the resource of heaven. And as I'm filled on God's provision, I'm equipped with his power. So shall we take up the communion together?